One in 10 households spend more than 50% of their income on just having a place to live. That's according to this year's County Health Rankings and Roadmaps report published by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. But like every other metric in the United States, these numbers hide the fact that Black and brown communities are dealing with this crisis at a greater rate than everyone else. One area where this is most pronounced is in the realm of home ownership. New data from the Census Bureau shows that Black homeownership is on the decline, and the percentage of Black families that own a home is at its lowest level in 50 years. Meanwhile, the Trump administration announced Friday that it intends to gut the 1968 Fair Housing Act, a federal civil rights legislation that gives enforcement to claims of discrimination in housing. Elena McCargo is the Vice President of Housing Finance Policy at the Urban Institute, and she joins me now to help us make sense of what's happening. Elena, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me, Tanzina.
So we just said the state of Black homeownership is at its lowest level in 50 years. Can you help us understand that in terms of where in the country? Is the decline more pronounced in certain regions?
Great question. So the national homeownership rate, and that's looking across all, you know, all states, is currently at the lowest level that we've seen in 50 years since the Fair Housing Act was passed. When you look at this situation around Black homeownership, state by state or region by region, it is very different locally. So it's a greater issue or of greater concern in some locations around the country. But I can tell you that across the entire nation, the homeownership rate between Black and white Americans and the gap persists in just about every jurisdiction across the country. So there is no place that has closed the gap.
Let's talk a little bit about the why now. We know that, there was a big housing crisis over a decade ago, and that affected different communities differently. But tell us about why Black homeownership is at this rate today.
Sure. So during the housing crisis, starting in about 2008, the Black and Hispanic population really suffered greatly from loss of homeownership or lots of loss of home equity. Since then, there has been, as you know, an economic recovery, and many, including the Hispanic population, have seen great recovery as it relates to building back up homeownership and wealth through homeownership. That has not been the case for the Black population. And that has a lot to do with two things. One is the real difficulty that there has been in getting access to mortgages and access to credit. And then secondly, the sustainability issue and just the fact that so many Black previously homeowner populations have now become renters.
I know in my own reporting, we found that in Milwaukee, for example, denial of mortgages is much higher for Black members of the community than it is for whites. Why is credit so hard to come by? Why are mortgages so hard to come by, particularly for Black Americans?
When the housing crisis happened, there was a big contraction in the mortgage market, and it affected all Americans. This was just essentially where mortgage lenders were taking on far less risk. They really began to pull back in terms of their lending. They really tightened up opportunities for homeowners with, you know, lower credit scores, possibly a little bit more debt on their credit profiles. That tightening has really continued. It hasn't loosened up as much as it could when you compare to historical standards of lending during good times when lending was happening that was very safe. Today, lenders continue to not take that risk, continue to still have some constraints in their lending that are having an outsized effect on the Black community because of the characteristics that many Black households have in terms of their credit profiles, lower incomes, and carrying higher debt, including student debt.
That lower income data that you're talking about also plays out often in how much wealth Black communities and to a larger extent brown communities have. Here in New York City, for example, often people are asked to come up with a down payment of up to 20% of the value of the property, which is almost the barrier to entry is almost impossible for a lot of people. Is that something that also plays out for Black families?
Absolutely. Access to down payment assistance is out there. It's available. And there is still a misconception that folks have around the country that you need 20% down to get a mortgage and buy a home. That is not the case. And in some recent work that we did, a study called Barriers to Home Ownership in 2018, the Urban Institute with Freddie Mac and a group called Down Payment Resource. And that report shows that there are over 2,600 down payment assistance programs across the nation. The Federal Housing Administration, that's a low down payment program. The Veterans Administration, that's a zero down payment program. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which are conventional lenders, both have low down payment programs. On average, we saw in 2017, most people, no matter what size or price home you're buying, are putting about 5% down at the median. So that misperception of that you have to save 20% down, which seems like an impossibility for most people these days, is something that we've got to make sure people understand that you do not need 20% down to buy a home.
We mentioned that the Trump administration announced that it intends to essentially gut the 1968 Fair Housing Act, which gives essentially enforcement to people who are trying to make claims of housing discrimination. If that happens, what kind of impact, Elena, would that have on Black home ownership?
The Black home ownership gap has been here for as far as we've recorded housing data. So there has not been a time when there hasn't been this kind of enormous gap in home ownership and wealth in America. You have to look at history. You have to think about how neighborhoods were segregated, how cities were segregated, and how the opportunities for home ownership and better housing were just not available to Black families for so many years. I mean, we talk about access to credit and housing affordability and all these other things, but another key piece is discrimination in housing. It is something that has been here since the Fair Housing Act was passed, and there have been numerous cases brought against institutions and individuals in real estate and lending on the claims of fair housing discrimination. And the ability to enforce those laws and the ability to ensure that discriminatory practices, whether you're renting or buying a home, are something that can be enforced and kind of be taken out of our system is critical. So any work to minimize or diminish fair housing laws and disparate impact, which is the way in which these cases can be brought, are truly going in the wrong direction, especially given the persistent homeownership gap and housing discrimination that we continue to see in this country.
Elena McCargo is the Vice President of Housing Finance Policy at the Urban Institute. Elena, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Support for The Takeaway and WNYC's health coverage is provided in part by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, working alongside others to build a culture of health for all. More at rwjf.org.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.